Savior's name, well done.
We long
to hear our Savior say, well done.
Set, go!
The incredible
Genesis 11:4
And they said, Go to let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name. Lest us be scattered above upon a face above the whole earth.
Genesis 11:4 The people of Babel wanted to make a name for themselves.
Yes, they were attempting to achieve self-glory. They wanted to be independent in their hearts and minds. They had no need for God.
God took care of their pride. He confused their language and forced the family groups to obey his command to spread out across the earth.
The Bible clearly teaches that God is the only one who should receive all glory. Jeremiah 9:23-24 tell us, let not the wise man glory in wisdom.
Neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his riches.
But let him that glorieth glory in this,
that he understand it and knoweth me, and
that I am the Lord.
We glory in God alone. He's the only one who gives us a strength, salvation, and ability to serve him.
After the flood of the people of earth gathered together to celebrate the word, in the places of the tongue,
scraping the sky, even reaching to God.
Babel, Babel, Babel was the consequence of sin. Babel, Babel, Babel was the sound of foolish men. When people tried to praise themselves of very best distance, this is Babel, 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 when the Lord is impressed.
The people were proud of their great cigarettes, and they were humbled by the babbling aftermath. I'll confound their language and make the people strangers. God scattered all and he toppled their pride.
Babel, Babel, Babel was the consequence of sin. Babel, Babel, Babel was the sound of foolish men. When people tried to praise themselves their very best attempt, it's just Babel, 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 when the Lord is not impressed. Was the sound of foolish men. When people tried to praise themselves their very best attempt, it's just babble, 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 and babble, 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 and the Lord is not impressed. Babble, babble, babble.
Didn't they do a great job?
very, very proud of them. I appreciate our young folks so much. And so thankful the ones that take their time and works with them, and we appreciate me and Brother Tim got to talking about Children's Church, and he said, asked me if I ever know to the Patch program. I said, well, I've heard of it, but then when he shared with me, I've really enjoyed, this is a good program, really a good method of teaching, and I appreciate all the hard work that's been put in. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. The other night, I was preaching and talking some different verses and different things, and I got to talking about Proverbs again. It's been a while, so I've started reading through the book of Proverbs again. It's good to... You can read through them in a month, read one a day, and I really get a lot out of it. And it was, I just started reading when the Lord said this is what he wanted me to preach on this morning. So you may get a few messages out of Proverbs here in the next month. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord leads. But I wanted to, this is kind of geared toward the youth, but it'll sure work on all of us this morning. And if you would, you find your place, Proverbs chapter 1, if you would stand with me in honor of God's word. I'm going to read a few verses. I want us to get the gist of what's being said here this morning. Proverbs 1, starting at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as they go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Father, as we come to you in prayer again this morning, we're so thankful, Lord, to be able to call upon you. I'm so thankful these young folks that got up and, Lord, took a stand for you today. And, Lord, we thank you for the witness and the testimony. And thank you, Lord, for the word that they were singing about and they were quoting. God, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And thank you, Father, for the wisdom and the instruction, God, that's in this precious book. And Lord, we ask you this morning that you would touch and guide and help us. And Lord, touch the old preacher boy. And I pray you'd remove the hindrances of the devil out. And God, you'd speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just jotted down the title of Which Way? But you know, there's wisdom. The Bible speaks of wisdom, and there's wisdom in a lot of different ways. And one way of wisdom, and there was two hunters, and you may have heard this, but they were two hunters, and they ran across a big old grizzly bear. And the one said, "What are we going to do?" And the other one took off a running. And he hollered and said, "You can't outrun the bear." And he hollered back and said, "I don't have to. I just got to outrun you." Now that could be for a big rooster too. I don't see JM back there, but the guy was using wisdom. He did say it struck it. He knew that he just had to outrun the other guy. But anyway, I want us to looking and thinking about wisdom and thinking about these proverbs. And a proverb is the Hebrew word means a comparison, and it's a short statement that summarizes a wise principle, and it compares. And if we look in, it'll say the wise man does this and the foolish man does this, and it'll go back and forth, and it's a comparison, and it makes a statement. See, Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs that's in the book of Proverbs, and in the Bible. Of course, we know and we think of wisdom and we think of head knowledge and we think, but in the Bible, when the Bible talks of wisdom, it speaks more of a heart matter as well as the mind. And it's not just the wisdom of the mind and what we know, but it's what we know deep inside, and it dwells up and it changes us and works on us from the inside out. And when the Bible speaks of wisdom, he's just not talking about gathering what knowledge we can get and knowing more than everybody else so we have something to boast about. But it's a knowledge that actually works on and changes you. And changes the heart. When the Bible talks about the heart, it is the seat of emotions. It's who we are. It's our thoughts. It's our intents. It's what drives us. And so the Bible talks of wisdom. It changes our mind and our heart, and we change from the inside out, and our outward appearance reflects what has happened on the inside. And that's where Solomon spends a lot of time. And there is a wisdom of the world. The Bible speaks of the wisdom of the world. But divine wisdom is from above. We know Solomon had prayed for wisdom. God said, "What is it you need?" And he said, "Lord, I'm just a young kid, and I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to rule these group of people. I need wisdom." God said, "I'll grant it to you. And because you didn't ask for it, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give you a lot of other stuff." But he blessed him and gave him wisdom from on high. And see, the proverb gives you a comparison of these two ways. And I've titled this, "Which Way?" And Proverbs, when you study and you look at them today, it's a comparison of two different things. It's a comparison of two ways or two paths. And it's telling us how we ought to go and what we ought to refrain from. And just these verses here, and I want to, I've got a few here that I want to look at, and I have really, really worked to be brief on this, and so we'll see how I did. Afraid not real good, but in verse 7, the Bible says, and see, he starts out and he talks about wisdom and he talks about the knowledge, the instruction, understanding, all these things. He gets down to verse 7, and it could be the first point of the whole book of Proverbs. And this is the first point that I have here this morning, that he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The fear, the respect, the reverence of the Lord, the acknowledgement of God, the dependence upon God, the trust of the Lord, the devotion to the Lord. He said, this is where the rubber meets the road. I'm going to tell you a lot of things. I'm going to give you a lot of wisdom. I'm going to give you a lot of instruction in this book. But he says, I'm going to tell you what it comes down to. And really, you young people, get a hold of this. And I want you to really listen to me this morning. Because he says the number one thing that you'll ever do, and it's the wisest man that ever lived other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said the number one thing in your life, to be sure to get this right, is put God first. I mean, this guy was the wealthiest they was. He had more servants than anybody. Evidently, he's a real good-looking guy. He had it all. And when he come to write this book, he said, I'm going to tell you, the heart of the matter is you put God first. Wow, and I've learned that in my life. And this is the first thing that he said, our devotion, our reverence, everything, our trust, our devotion to God and Creator. And today we can do that by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the number one thing. If you don't hear nothing else, this old preacher boy says this morning, is that I hope that this comes through loud and clear, that you have to have Jesus Christ in your life. You have to come to a point that you say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've messed up, but I accept the forgiveness that Jesus has offered. I trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. I accept that forgiveness, and I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins and change me and take me to heaven. Now that'll take you to heaven. That's the only way. There is no other way. There is no, and it's amazing, and I never had really, but when to come through, how it's just jumped off a page. And he said, I don't care what we talk about. The number one thing is you get things right with God. You get your heart right and you follow Him and let Him lead you. Follow Him in, follow His will for your life, and you let Him direct your steps. You let Him direct your path. On in chapter 3, he goes into the direction letting God direct you. And letting Him trust you. Or you trust Him and letting Him lead us. And I tell you, it don't take all of our troubles away, but we still, life's a lot better when we trust Him. When we make Him the Lord of our lives and commit our wills to His, life works out better for some reason. See the contrast here also in book of Psalms chapter 14 verse 1. The Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, I remember Preacher Cutshaw preaching this, and he said, now don't get mad at me. I didn't say that. The Bible said it. And that is the way the Bible says that someone that says there is no God is a fool. A lack in understanding, lack in wisdom. Solomon said, if you want wisdom, if you want knowledge, you run as straight as you can to the Lord. And these other things, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So it's important. I want to drive this home, young folks. I want to drive this home, middle-aged folks. I want to drive this home of my age and older, that I want us to know there's not many older than me now. I used to be the younger group. But I want to drive it home today. The number one thing is that we get our hearts right with Jesus Christ. That we trust the Lord. And if we don't, everything else is in vain. Everything else, nothing else is going to line up. Nothing else is going to matter. It don't matter how much anything we've got. If we leave Jesus out of it, we've lost it all. There is nothing else. He is the only thing that I can boast in today. There's nothing in my life that I can take any credit for, that I could say anything except Jesus Christ and the mercy and the grace of God. because he sent Rhonda and she's kept me straight. Verse 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And I ran across this story and I thought I wanted to read it. In the jungles of eastern Sri Lanka, 15 soldiers of a government commando unit were saved by two dogs adopted as mascots. According to the news report, the soldiers were completing a 10-mile hike when their dogs sensed danger. Running ahead toward a water hole where the unit planned to rest, the dogs suddenly began barking and circling the area, and the troops searched carefully and found 12 buried grenades attached to a wire trigger. It's intriguing to think that those two jungle mascots, whose senses were turned into the smell of danger, the soldiers escaped serious injury and even death because they listened to the barking dogs. And I really want you to listen to me right now. I especially the first point, but this one here. This is the way of wise counsel. I don't even know if I said the first one was the way of wise commitment, committing our ways to the Lord. The second one is the way of wise counsel. He said, listen to mom and daddy. Listen to what mom and daddy's got to say. And you might think, we can't help but listen to them. But I used to think that I was the smartest and my daddy was the dumbest of anybody I ever knew. And then I got a little bit older, I learned I wasn't near as smart as I thought I was, and he's a whole lot smarter than I thought he was. Because he had something that I didn't have. What is it Charlie says? What is it? You know Charlie, the Farm Bureau guy with the kick. He said, what is it you get right immediately after you need it? Experience. And experience, the adults speak from experience. A lot of times will speak from experience, and the older folks will speak from experience, and that is what is young folks that we need, is somebody that's been around the block, somebody that's already been through and had the hard knocks and all of the things. And boy, I tell you what, I like to see when I started preaching, and Lord, I sure knowed I didn't have the answers, and when I run a snag, I wanted to seek counsel. And I'm going to tell you the counsel I always sought. And I've told Rhonda, I said, if I go to this preacher, I'll get this kind of counsel. If I go to this preacher, I'll get this counsel. I knowed what I would get if I went to one of them. So I hunted somebody else that I didn't know what he was going to tell me. That's the one. I didn't want a yes to go just confirm what I felt like. I wanted wise, godly counsel that come out of the Word of God. And young folks, I'm going to tell you, and all ages of us today, counsel, I love that counsel mom and daddy give us when we're older. It still works today. I mean, it don't get old, does it? It hits in, and the things my daddy told me years ago, my dad said one thing, and I know I've said this, your name's all you got. And when you lose your name, you've lost it all. Now, that'll work in 2019, won't it? And he knew that, but from wisdom and from the experience that he didn't mean it as godly counsel, but that's godly counsel. The Bible says a lot about counsel from our parents and other folks also, but I want to share with you in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This never really hit me until last night. And when I got to studying and I got to looking at this, and then I see Moses, the laying out the Ten Commandments, is in the exact same order as Solomon was right started out Proverbs. You might say, preacher, you've lost it. The commandments, and most of you probably know, is broke up really in two sections. The first four has to do with our relationship with God. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Well, 5 through 10 has to do with our relationship with man. Okay, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, or commandments 1, 2, 3, and 4, he says the same thing Solomon has saying right here in verse 7 and in these verses here. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm the only one. Thou shalt not take my name in vain. Thou shalt worship no other images. And so he said, get the relationship with God nailed down. The Ten Commandments, same way as Solomon started here. Had you ever thought? I never thought about it. And it just hit me last night. And so as he looked and he's saying, nail this down. And then when he starts dealing with man, you know what number 5 is? Honor thy father and thy mother. The first one, when it comes to dealing with mankind, he said, listen to what mom and daddy says. Honor mom and daddy. And stay with them and stay with what they say, because if they're doing their job right, they're going to get wisdom from me and they're going to instill it in you. It goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he said to train your children and let them know and everything about it. Have God's word right in their face. Teach your children and the children's children and right on down the line. And that's what the word of God is telling us today. And even in the New Testament, Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. And don't you get this, which is the first commandment with a promise, that you'll live long. Wow. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Isn't it amazing that both of these wise men, right straight from God, said, get your heart right with God and then listen to mom and daddy. Whoo! Boy, that's some good teaching right there, isn't it? And then the third one is the way of wise choices. Let me back up just a minute. Oh, I've got a couple more minutes. It's just now 12 o'clock. When he says in verse 8, the instruction of your mom and father, for they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and a chain about thy neck. Now, back then in those days, they'd make of a garland. And of course, you've seen, if you've watched any old Roman movies and stuff, and the ones that win and the ones that really, they'd make these garlands and put on their head. And that is a sign of victory. That's a sign of getting it right. That's a sign of doing. He said it'd be like a putting that garland that you win. And he said also, gold necklaces, and it's still like that today, isn't it? They like to wear all the bling. And he said, it's like putting a gold around you. Everybody's going to recognize that you're doing the right thing. Everybody's going to recognize that you've been trained in the right manners and that you're following the ways of the Lord and you're listening to mom and daddy and you're following the way of God. It's just... Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I'm just going to speak this plain as I know, just right off the river. You bring two youngins in here and let me spend about 5 minutes with them, and I'll tell you which one's been trained and which one hadn't. It's going to be like a garland on her head and a big chain around her neck. Amen? Amen. All right, the way of wise counsel from 10 through 13. He's talking here, and I won't read it again, but he's talking about people enticing you to do wrong. People saying, well, if you do this, it'd be a, you make it a whole lot quicker, and you make a lot more money. And that might be a little illegal, but it'll be all right. Everybody does it. Amen? One thing you say, and it'd be true, well, the politicians do it. I'll better say. We won't go there. But everybody does it. It's okay. So you might as well get in on the party. You might as well get you some of the easy money. You might as well live it up, and you have the good times, and you enjoy what it is. And he's saying, don't do that. And as he goes on in verse 15, he says, my son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from them. And people that's enticing you, and we all get tempted and around folks, and they say, well, let's go do this. He said, don't hang around those folks. I'm not saying, now young people, listen to me good. I'm really, this is right down your alley. I'm not telling you to dislike and be mean to anybody. But there's some friends you want to spend time with, and there's some that you really don't need to be spending time with. And the ones that are encouraging you to go the wrong way against what God's Word says and against what Mom and Daddy says is not the ones to follow. Amen? Number one, do what God says. Number two, do what Mom and Daddy says. Number three, don't hang around the ones that says don't do them too. That's pretty simple, ain't it? Boy, I wish I'd have got that a long time ago. Wouldn't you like to got that when you was about 6 or 7? I'd have saved myself maybe a lot of whoopings. See, one thing about it, and that you'll find, sinners loves company. They love company. They want somebody with. They want somebody as miserable as they are. Amen? And they love company, and they'll entice you, and they'll say, come and get involved in this. And he said, don't do it. Don't you go down the road. Don't walk with them. Matthew 7:13-14, the Bible says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be there that find it. Refrain the foot from their path. You might say, preacher, I'm not a child anymore. I'm not either. But it's still godly, wise counsel from the Word of God. That I guarantee you, most of us can still remember what Mom and Daddy told us. Don't look like that. Your face might freeze like that. Is I the only one that ever heard that? If the rest of your friends jumped off a building, would you jump off too? Amen. And we remember some of these things that they told us. And I remember my mama saying, you need to get up and go to church this morning, Tim. I don't want to. I'm tired. This is the only day I get to rest. How many of us ever heard that? This is my rest day. I don't want to go. She said, do you want to go to hell? That's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? It's godly counsel. I thank God that I had a drug problem when I was little. As she drugged me to church every time the doors opened. Amen. Thank God for the teaching I got when I was young. I veered away from it, but I knowed what it was missing, and I come back. I knowed it was real. See, that's why it's important. Now I'm going to preach to the parents. You get your 30 minutes. That's why it's important that we get our children in Sunday school and in church so they can get saturated by the Word of God. We got some great folks that just love to take their time and share with children and with kids. Let's get them in and keep them busy and get our kids. You know, these things, I still remember going in my primary Sunday school class, and I still remember seeing that little sign, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Miss Virgie found that verse and put up there. Had her little bun, the godly little woman. Let me share this with you. After Rhonda and I got in church, she was in the hospital. Mom said, "Virgie's in the hospital," and I went, visited her on a Sunday morning before I went to church. And I took my Bible in and opened up and I read Psalm 100. At the end of that psalm, it says, "And His mercy endureth to all generations." Virgie didn't have a clue who I was. She didn't remember me. She didn't know nothing about it. But she helped me finish that psalm. She said, "For His mercy endureth to all generations." Boy, he stayed with her to the end. He carried her all the way through. Praise the Lord. Yogi Berra, a lot of us, especially the older ones and the younger ones, Yogi Berra was a great hind catcher for the New York Yankees. And he could mess you up with his words better than anybody. And he did it behind the plate. And they said that he was a catching, and Hank Aaron come to the bat, to the plate. And Yogi said, "Hank, your bat's turned around backwards." And Hank didn't pay no attention to him. He said, the words on your bat is aimed the wrong way. You need to turn it around. The words need to be facing you." He's trying to get Hank to look at get his eye off and, you know, throw him off. He never said a word. He just, first pitch, he said, "Hank, your back's still backwards. You need to turn it around and get your word." The second pitch come in, over the fence. Hank Aaron made his round, and as he came, he tagged home plate, and then he turned back to Yogi, and he said, "I didn't come here to read." See, he knew what his job was. He knew why he was at that plate. It wasn't to look what the words was on the bat. It was to produce home runs. That's why very few's in the 714 club. And this morning, as we're sharing, as we close, I want you, do you know what your mission is? Do you know where you are? And in the morning, you're going to step up to the plate. And the world's going to be saying, "Your bat's turned around backwards. You don't have everything in order." See, today I want us to be sure when we leave here we got it nailed down. That we know beyond a shadow of a doubt what team we're on and what coach we're listening to. Because the world will pull us apart. And young people, make sure your inner circle of friends is Christians. Make sure you hang around people that encourages you. And in turn, I want you to encourage them to live the best life. We can have a greater influence than the world has if we'll just do it. Let them know where the answers is. Let them know Jesus is the answer. Let them know that you ought to listen to mom and daddy. Let them know that the church is, you ought to come to church. Let them know that you ought to be honest in your dealings. Resist the friends that tries to lead you astray. But most of all, be sure that Jesus is the most influential thing in your life. That we try our best. And I don't care what age we are this morning. I want to, as we come, and I'm going to close. I want you to know this morning before you leave here, Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart and to be the Savior of your soul? See, nothing else is as important as that. That's why the Ten Commandments started out that way. That's why the wisest man ever lived started out that way. You get this one right, and these other things work. We can work them out. But be sure that you've asked Jesus into your heart, and that He's your Savior, and that you're trusting Him. And you may be, we'll say, well, preacher, I've asked Him, but I don't know. I don't know if I call myself a Christian or not. And I've been there. I used to be there. Today would be a good day to nail it down. Let's get it right. Then we can move forward. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day, and thank You for Your blessings.
Thank You, Lord, for God's teaching. Lord, we ask You.